Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk.
12 cats live across the road. Our door's open. Screen's broke. I turn and look. There's a little kitty cat in our kitchen. So I said, what are you doing in here, little kitty cat?
Isaac Robb.
Cat starts going, meow, all crazy. We need more dogs.
Jason Sukanik.
Try to let it out the front door. Meow, meow. Cat's still going crazy in there.
This is Prime Time on the Fan Sports Network.
We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Be a dog.
105.1 and 1080.
We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats. We need more dogs.
The Fan.
Nice to have you along. Big little Monday show. Little big Monday show. Whichever way you want to view it there. We're kicking some serious ass. What?
That.
We don't need any extra motivation to come in and want to whoop your ass.
Souk's already dropped an S-bomb.
Live yeah, that
on
was
the
right
show.
Out of the gates.
Right out of the gates. First
although,
segment.
Although that was the Ryder Cup. I was, you know.
Yeah,
so.
You were a little fired up.
That was not Duck related. That was Ryder Cup
because you're an American.
Shane Falco, so Malcho.
Although I was kind of, I was embarrassed.
Wait, is Fields back tonight? I was just looking
I think
at the,
he is.
Think
he's doing the pregame interview, so yeah. If he's not, that'd be odd.
I saw him warming up.
That's a fair point.
Yeah.
Well, you started asking that question before he's on the TV.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I just saw him up there, and I was like, oh, I didn't know he was back. Like, boy, I couldn't. As NFL games go, and I love the NFL, I could not care any less about this Jets game.
This is a rough slate. Both games, not great.
I'm not going to lie. Both of these.
Jets-Dolphins?
Like, well, does it do me? Jake Browning? And
if it was Burrow going to the Broncos, that would have been a decent game.
I like Denver. I mean, I don't like Denver. I just like, and I think they're an interesting team with Knicks and their defense. But yes, I mean, look.
So I got the Jets and Dolphins and Cincinnati and Denver tonight.
Tua
it's like
Tagovailoa.
Tua Tagovailoa is going to be out there.
Can we, by the way, can we please, for the love of God, stop with the quarterback war paint? Like, Justin Fields and Tua both. And
you have no control over that.
We don't.
And isn't Jackson Dart one of those guys, too?
Yeah, he's one of those. Like, the only one, by the way, that's any good, I believe that, like, if you wear war paint, you instinctually suck. I think the only one that does it and is good is Jalen Hurts. And Jalen Hurts, he didn't complete a pass in the second half, but you can't beat the Eagles. They've sold their soul. They're the new Bill Belichick. So I guess if you're Jalen Hurts, you can do it because you won a Super Bowl. But for the rest of these ass clowns, like, I don't, like, you're the quarterback, for God's sake.
Is quarterback war paint the new backwards hat quarterback trend?
It's, well, like,
when somebody call Colin Cowherd.
Well, you're John Randall, by all means.
You're the new Colin Cowherd.
Do the war paint, right? If you're Nick Bosa and you're, like, this terrifying human being and you want to do some war paint, whatever. But really, Tua, you're doing some war paint?
He does crosses. He goes religious.
He's religious. Yeah.
Anyway.
Does that bother you?
No, but there is a little bit of like, hey, Jesus, thinking of you. Let me put these big giant crosses on my face. Just that I need the quarterbacks. Like, of all the old man takes that I have, that may be for the NFL right now. That may be my biggest, like, what are we doing?
That's like horseradish.
Like, you know, Lamar's not doing that. Mahomes isn't doing that. Josh Allen isn't doing it. I need Jalen Hurts to come out and be like, because he's the only one that's any good. I need Hurts to take a stand and be like, that's it. No more. No more eye black.
Fan text line 503-864-6326. I don't want to take anything away from Oregon, but this person does because they're a Husky. And it's amazing win in such a hostile environment. But there's no way Penn State is the third best team in the country.
Yes, I agree.
I don't think this win is going to age well as the Ohio State win from last year. The good news for Oregon is they don't really have any major tests left on their schedule in the regular season.
See, I disagree with that.
They're staring down another appearance in the Big Ten title game if they don't screw up too bad. But even after this weekend, I still don't think they have quite what it takes to win it all this year.
See, and I'll push back on this. A couple fold. One, I agree. I didn't think Penn State was the third best team in the country. Still don't think they're the third best team in the country. I think that's a top 10 team. I think that could be a playoff team. They were a playoff team last year. And I think overall, I think this is probably a more talented squad. So if they were a playoff team last year, don't know why.
So you think they're more talented this year than last year?
I do.
Without Carter and...
Yeah, I think obviously losing Abdul Carter hurts and Tyler Warren hurts. But I think the overall depth and the fact, believe it or not, they did go out and get real receivers if they will throw them the ball. And I think that defense is just as good. And there's two NFL defensive linemen. They got two NFL DBs. So, yes, I think overall the depth of this team and another year of Drew Aller should be better. Wasn't for much of that game. But this is as talented, if not a more complete team than what you had last year. And that was a team that went to the playoff and won a game. So, are they the third best team in the country? No, because I don't think Drew Aller, you know, I don't believe in Drew Aller. But it's still a very good team. For Oregon, Oregon's best is as good as anyone's in the country. Are they better than Ohio State? Are they better than Alabama? Are they better than Georgia? I don't think there's been one team, and I've seen everyone at this point multiple times. I've seen every top contender. I haven't seen one team that makes me stand up and go, whoa, okay, that, hands down, that's the best team in the country. I think there's tiers. And when I look at what Oregon's defense was able to do against Penn State, when I've seen what peak Oregon offense looks like earlier in the year, when I look at the overall depth and talent and speed that they have, Oregon can play with anyone, just like they could play with anyone last year. And I think by the end of the year, I think Oregon really could be hitting its stride because Oregon's two best running backs are freshmen. True freshmen, by the way. Oregon's best receiver is a freshman. Oregon's best player, Dante Moore, period, is a sophomore and has only started a handful of games and will continue to get better. By the way, most of your secondary, young, your two best corners, redshirt freshmen, freshmen. So this team is going to continue to kind of grow and these guys are going to grow up. And do they win a national title? Who knows? But I'll tell you right now, there's not a team that if you put on a neutral field that is going to be head and shoulders better or it's going to be a touchdown favorite over Oregon.
I think that's the point. The point that I don't know about Penn State. I agree. I understand why people would say they're not the third best team in the country. They did it again. They lost a huge game at home, and you just can't trust Drew Aller. Okay, I get that. But that doesn't mean they're not number three. Because I think when you look at college football this year, first of all, we're basing a lot of this off of, you know, teams that play three cupcakes and then have one good game.
Exactly.
And Oregon almost lost that game.
Yes.
So I don't know. I do feel like those two teams are pretty close, with Dante Moore maybe being the difference maker. But I just, you look at college football, I was just looking at SP Plus. So you know what SP Plus is?
Yes, I do.
That's, you like that analytic?
It's a...
Bill Connolly is his name, and he's at ESPN, and it's basically, it's a opponent-adjusted measure of efficiency. So if, put it this way, if you're winning, but you're lucky, and you don't look good in the measurable areas, you actually are lower in the rankings. If you are losing, but are unlucky, but you look great in the sustainable and predictable aspects of football, you rise. So it's a little bit more of a true analytic. And Penn State is number four, even after losing to Oregon.
True.
So if you look, and I was just looking at it, you can go all the way down to number 22. And it wouldn't be all of these teams, but you can make a case for many of these teams in the top 22 to be the third best team in the country. Mm. My point being, we don't really know. Is it Missouri? It could be Missouri.
No.
Is it Texas? Probably not. Could be. We thought it was at the start of the
Ole
year.
Ole Miss just had a big win.
Alabama
looked good.
Is it Miami? They're down here at 14. Huh. They could be number three. Is it Georgia? Is it Notre Dame is 19th. They have two losses, and that's a pretty damn good football team. Is it Ohio State? Is it Oregon? Is it Indiana? Is it Texas Tech? Is it Oklahoma? There are so many teams. This is the beauty of college football this year, man. There are so many teams that are in it and just look really good. There's no real differentiators between any of them yet, right?
Yeah.
So all we can go on is Alabama won at Georgia. So they're going to jump up. Oregon won at Penn State. They're number one, by the way, in SP+. And Ohio State is number two. I think they're probably, if you had gunned ahead of a lot of people today, who are the two best teams in college football, even though we really don't know yet, a lot of people would say Oregon and Ohio State.
Yes.
But just because... I think you got to tread lightly on saying that, and I also think you got to tread lightly on dismissing Penn State. Now, when it comes to Penn State in the biggest game late in the year,
we'll see what happens.
No one's going to have any faith in them, but that doesn't mean they can't win it. There have been a lot of coaches that have had the James Franklin label that have ended up getting over the hump.
I would like to point out that Ryan Day last year was on the verge of you know, people were saying run his ass out of town.
Bingo.
And that he can't win big ones, and they, you know, they fumbled against Oregon and couldn't get that done, and then they had the bad game against Michigan, and then they went out and literally blitzkrieged everybody. Sark has this label right now at Texas, right? And Sark's taking some heat. Old Miss never finishes strong. Mario Cristobal has this label. And by the way, some people even think Dan Lanning has this. That, you know, that, oh, you know, Lanning, what has he ever done? Also, by the way, this is the first time that Oregon has gone into one of these big games and the defense, like, kind of carried the load. Now, I get at the end and overtime, you know, Penn State came back, but Oregon hasn't really won one of these games in a rock fight yet, right? Every time Oregon's played one of these big games, the defense hasn't really shown up. The defense showed up and played their ass off. So that's a step in the right direction. And by the way, in 2 weeks, Indiana's going to give you more of a test offensively. Indiana and, yeah. and
well, you know, he's number three in SP plus.
Is it Indiana?
Indiana.
Yeah. Indiana will give you a stiffer. I don't know if it'll be the overall test. We'll see how Indiana's defense holds up against Oregon, but Indiana's offense is going to give you more of a test than Penn State's does. And so that's why I'll push back and say that Oregon doesn't have any challenges. I think Indiana's going to push you. I think USC is going to still has a chance to push you. And I think Washington at the end of the year, people didn't pay any attention because, you know, it was Ohio State, Washington, and there were other games going on. And Washington, the dam kind of burst, and Ohio State had 10 points in the fourth quarter, and they went 24-6. That was a, I think it was 14-6 going into the fourth quarter. And Washington left points on the board, and that's another team that is very young that if they stay healthy, and they're battling some injuries right now, their best lineman got hurt, their best defender, front seven got hurt during that game, their best corner was out in that game. If they get some of those guys back, and as the season goes on, Damon Williams grows up and stops taking dumb sacks, that game at the end of the year, those two with USC, who defensively I don't think is very good, but they can score with anyone, those two games may be some real tests for Oregon at the end of the year. And don't sleep on Indiana. I just, in you know, next week, they got a bye, and then Indiana, that's going to be a bigger game than anyone thought coming to Autzen Stadium. And brother, Indiana's like, what, seventh or eighth right now?
Yeah, did you, you did mention USC in there too.
Yeah, they're, I mentioned USC.
Even though they lost,
yeah.
People will be like, I'll see them on USC. Well, their offense is one of the top five in the country. So
yes, it is.
Yeah, you know, it's a long year, man.
And then we have the Big Ten title game more than likely. And this, I think this is going to be a playoff team, obviously. And then the proof's in the pudding, because when you get to the playoff, there's no more softies, right? You're going to have to go through a couple teams that are really damn good.
There's so many good teams this year.
Yes.
At least it looks like
so
far.
And it all seems to be, I wouldn't begin to know how to start sorting these out. And having seen everybody, to sit there and say that I have a definitive view that Ohio State's better than Miami or LSU is better than this or Ole Miss, it's just, Alabama, had I not seen the abomination that was the Florida State game, I would sit here and tell you that I can make a strong case. Alabama, Ty Simpson against Georgia played as good a game as you could play. I mean, it was perfection on the road in Athens. And I sit there and I watch that and I'm like, how did that same offensive team look so piss poor against Florida
it's
State?
It's just not linear, man. No. It just doesn't. Teams get better. Teams
it's weird.
Have bad days. It's just, you know, it'll be a fun season. We'll talk more about it next hour, but we got to move on because Stockwatch is coming up next. What we're buying and selling from the weekend in sports on The Fan.
Ah!
It's Primetime Stock Watch. What's all the hype? Are Isaac and Sue buying it or calling BS and unloading it fast?
Sounds to me like you guys are a couple of bookies.
Is the hype accurate or a bunch of hot gas? Before you buy or sell, listen close.
It's easy to grin when your ship comes in and you've got the stock market beat. But the man worthwhile is the man who can smile when his shorts aren't too tight in the seat.
Primetime Stock Watch is brought to you by 1-800-DIVORCE. When you need to take stock of your rights, 1-800-DIVORCE is on your side. Call 1-800-DIVORCE today.
That's right. Divorce. Great American pastime.
It's expensive because it's worth it.
Is that what they say?
Is that their slogan?
I think it's a slogan. I don't know if it's their slogan, but, you know. Ever met someone that finishes a divorce and isn't like, oh my God, that was the greatest thing in the world? And everyone's like, oh, that's sad. No, it's not. Because you know what? Good marriages don't end in divorce. Bad marriages do. And that's what should happen to bad marriages. They should end.
Huh. Yeah, and you should be the spokesperson for 1-800-DIVORCE.
I've never met a happy couple that loved each other. It was like, you know what? We're getting divorced. I met a lot of miserable human beings that are good individually and are terrible together. And then you're like, oh God, thank goodness that you guys aren't together anymore.
Expired.
All right, here's Buck with our stack watch.
Well, it's already been kicked around a little bit, but the Dan Lanning post-game interview that went viral after the game, here is what that sounded like.
Unbelievable job, man, of our guys keeping their composure. We said this game's going to be about 1,000 cuts, right? Every cut matters. Every cut matters. And eventually, hit the jugular. That was it right there. Unbelievable focus. Our quarterback is an absolute all-star. Our team... special, man. Special.
You described this group to us during the week as having an elite level of focus. How did that play into the victory tonight?
Dude, never lost their composure 1 second. Highs and lows in this game. That's a great football team. Right? Threw some punches. We punch more. Right? Hit a haymaker at the end.
What kind of statement does this victory make for your program?
And we're on to the next game. We got to keep improving, keep growing. We're going to see some great teams in this league. It's an unbelievable league. What an unbelievable atmosphere. Got a ton of respect for Coach Franklin, the job they do. Man, that would, let me think about it for a second.
Dan Lanning fired up, obviously, after that one. Buy or sell that is the new biggest win of the Dan Lanning tenure.
Yes, it's the signature win. And I know Ohio State was at home, and Ohio State goes on and wins the national championship. And obviously this is context too, right? Like, had Oregon won a national title last year and not gotten thumped in the Rose Bowl by Ohio State, maybe we say that. But as great as that was a win at Autzen, to go on the road with all the hype and 111,000 people in the whiteout and all that crap, which, by the way, can we all just grow up a little bit? And no one cares on the field that someone's wearing white. It looks
cool on TV, though.
Oh God, I've had so many people like, what would it be like? What's it like to play in those environments? It's loud. Any stadium over 70,000, it's loud. The difference between 70 and 110, the difference between them wearing blue and white, doesn't matter. But it's still a big energetic environment to go on the road, get that game in overtime after having it in your hands and go away. That is the Dan Lanning. And you could tell, as fired up as he was last year against Ohio State, it wasn't like that. That the Lanning's face and everything about that tells you that that is the signature win of Dan Lanning's tenure here at Oregon.
Boy, that's a good point. Although I would say that after Ohio State, he was quite jubilant.
Yeah.
I was thinking it was Ohio State because that team ended up winning a national championship. Yeah. And I feel like while this, I don't know, was this win tougher because it was on the road? Because I feel like that Ohio State team was much better.
They were.
Than this Penn State team. Yeah. So I'm going to stick with the Ohio State win as the signature win, even though they got trounced by them in the playoff. That team won the title and looked damn good doing it. So I'm going to go with that one, I think.
Okay.
On the fan. Well,
let's move up to Seattle, where the Huskies lost to number one ranked Ohio State. Here's Jed Fish after the loss.
I just told the team, I go, it's week four, guys. We're 3-1. You know, that okay. So now what? We played at number one team in the country, and we played them really well. And it was a heavyweight fight until last 5 minutes, 4 minutes of the game, I guess, is when it turned into more than, you know, two scores. But I feel like we got a really good football team, and I'm really excited about getting on the road on Thursday and flying to Maryland and then seeing how well we can play. It'll be a great challenge for our team.
Now, I can buy that he might have a pretty good football on his team, football team on his hands, but buy or sell that he's kind of polishing a turd here, saying they went toe-to-toe with the number one team in the country despite not even finding the end zone.
No, because I actually, unlike other people, watched this game. And so no,
I didn't watch it.
No offense, but
I recorded it.
Yeah.
And then I went back and watched the third quarter.
Yeah.
And then I was so bored I quit. So yeah. I have no comment.
Yeah, someone texted in and was like, that game wasn't close. Oregon will bend them over the line of scrimmage. You didn't watch the game. Yes, it was close. That was an 8-point game going into the fourth quarter. And Washington was playing without Dakario Davis, one of their best corners. Zach Durfee got hurt, which is their big edge guy. And they lost Carver Willis, their best offensive lineman. And when those two guys went down, and Ohio State eventually just wore them down. Damon Williams was 18 of 22 for a buck 73, and Jonah Coleman averaged 5.5 yards a carry. I thought Jed Fish got in Jed Fish's own way. They had a horrible field goal attempt. They stalled out in the red zone, and Ohio State's really, really good. So what you saw there is Ohio State is better than Washington. They just are. Washington is not quite at that level. But again, as Washington goes, a lot of their team is young and is going to continue to get better. I think you leave, like, USC had a close loss against Illinois. Washington had a less close loss at Ohio State. I feel better about Washington going forward than I do USC after that
Ooh,
game.
I don't know about that. Of course, I didn't see the Washington game, so I'll tread lightly. But what I would say is
USC's defense was an abomination.
What I would say is Washington has good players. We know who their good players are. And Ohio State is maybe, if you gunned ahead, had to pick a best team in the country right now, it's probably Ohio State.
Yes.
But I don't know anybody who would trust Jed Fish.
No.
Fish. And you just even said it. I didn't even see it, but Jed Fish got in Jed Fish's way. That was predictable. I don't have faith in Jed Fish. I mean, I'm sure he has. I like the quarterback. I've seen him play enough. But that guy, I don't know. I don't know if he can do it. They get Oregon late in the year.
Washington is going to be a problem when you look at.
Do they play USC?
No, they have Maryland, Rutgers, Michigan, Illinois, Wisconsin, Purdue, and UCLA. That game against Oregon at the end of the year may have some actual real meaning behind it. If Washington stays healthy, because their depth is not great, it's still a team in building. They are going to score a lot of points. And they left 14 points on the board against Ohio State. They were there with them. And their defense played better than I thought they were capable of playing, and then just wore down because, well, that's what Ohio State does to you. They wear you down. And offensively, they were just a beat off. And then, like I said, when they lost their big left tackle, it was problematic. But it don't look at 24-6 and think that Washington is a bad football team. They are not. And that is a team that is going to get some people this year. And I think they're going to play some meaningful football into November in the Big Ten.
Touchdown six, brother.
Let's move on to potentially the worst gambling beat of the football season.
Ooh.
Don't know if you saw this. Here's the scenario. Indiana at Iowa. Line closes. Indiana -6.5. Game is tied at halftime. Second half line is Indiana -5.5. Indiana has the ball. 3 seconds left in the game, up 7. Here's what their quarterback, Fernando Mendoza, does.
Not the Meadowlands here, so final seconds will tick off. And Mendoza going to give up points there.
It's really going to hurt his stats running the football.
So if you can't tell what happened there, he took the snap on his own 40-yard line and sprinted back 40 yards to take a safety as time expired.
How much time was on the clock?
3 seconds. You didn't need to run 40 yards.
You
needed to run 10 yards.
Oh, no.
Buy or sell, someone on the Indiana staff is on the take.
I know.
Dude, that was such.
Total buy.
The Scott Van Pelt bad beat meter was just.
I don't think I've seen anything like it. I've even seen like a punter or a quarterback take the safety when it makes sense. Well, this didn't make any sense.
Dante Moore did it. Where
same
he, just,
thing.
He
yeah.
ran
he
around a little
threw
bit
it out
and
of bounds.
Threw it out of bounds. You know, you don't, you know.
That's. Wait, did you have money on that?
No, I was not betting that
you
game.
Like
I was just blown away.
Better.
Yeah.
Yeah, that dude, that was.
Because they win by 5, so they don't cover the second half line and they don't cover the original line. But they were before that snap.
Well, wasn't there a safety that cost the team a line the week before?
possibly. I think there was. I don't think it happened like that, though.
I think there was a safety that cost someone that was a bad beat on that.
Wasn't it like...
Well, and then the ultimate one was the in the NFL, the Philadelphia Eagles blocking the kick and running it back. That was another one. The Jordan Davis meaningless run back also cost people.
Yeah, the Rams.
The Rams won. So, and by the way, I may have had money on the Rams. You know, those are some of those fluky things. And my guess is in reality, they just told him you just keep running backwards and don't let anyone get anywhere near you. But yeah, that's.
Didn't have to fall down in the end zone.
That is particularly brutal for anyone that had that number.
God. That's why gambling's hard.
That's
why you shouldn't do it.
You can be on the right side of things and still.
Yeah, but.
But imagine if the other way. Imagine if you.
Well,
you had
Iowa.
But as
Iowa. Excuse me.
As any gambler will tell you, if you've been gambling long enough, it sure seems like you're on the wrong side of those way more often than you're on the right side.
Yeah.
Now I was on the Rams this weekend, and I got I will just come clean and say I got absolutely lucky. Yeah. Did you see the Rams? The Rams were. I had them at three minus three, and dude, the Colts scored.
Had them.
Yeah, well, Colts had him in multiple ways and screwed it up. So, and then they throw a bomb. I thought maybe I'd get a push, but they throw a bomb.
Did you see there was only 10 guys on the field?
Yeah. So, I mean, I got that dude. That's just a lucky win.
That's the sometimes the gambling gods smile at you, and other times they red poker you, and that's what happens.
I think we're out of time here. I think it's time to go to In the News.
I don't want to.
Okay. Well,
but
I do.
You have another one, don't you?
I do.
Well, you love ITN.
I love ITM, but I also love...
So we can also holster this. This is Ryder Cup related. Has to do with fan behavior. I know you may...
Let's get to that later.
Let's carve that out for another time.
Yeah. Yeah, because we're going to do a... We will have a discussion on fan behavior, but it may not be today. So we'll holster that. Goldberg Jones brings you Stockwatch when it comes to divorce, custody, or child support issues. Trust Goldberg Jones to help. Call 1-800-DIVORCE. Phone questions answered at no charge. In the News is next. We have the latest on the troops coming to save... War ravaged Portland.
It's about damn time.
God, no kidding. We've been asking for this.
Every weekend when I'm out drinking, I think to myself, someone save me.
Nothing bad can happen. It can only good happen.
Here is Buck with SportsCenter.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. It is September 29, 2025. It is time now for In the News. I am your noted and humble newsman. Thank you so much. Please be seated. All rise. Thank you. No, thank you.
You're welcome.
It's brought to you by the Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. Today is National Coffee Day.
Oh, I cannot celebrate.
Yeah, you're not a coffee guy.
Tried many a time. When I was in Italy, my friends were like, no, this is where we convert you. Didn't happen.
They do have great coffee over there.
It's like licking dirt, man. Can't do it.
It is also Broadway Musicals Day.
There you go. I do love me a good Broadway musical. Just saw The Lion King, a week or so ago?
Again?
Yeah. Yeah, I came around here for the second time. And I've seen Lion King now probably... Six times, and it's dude, that thing is a freaking classic. If you haven't, go check when they do Broadway Across America. It's over there at the Keller. I highly recommend it.
Well, as you know, Portland is war ravaged.
I've often said that to myself as I'm cruising about our fair city, going to various bars and whatnot, and I often think to myself, man, this must be what Ukraine feels like, or maybe like the war-torn Sudan, because it's so scary down there.
I'm not sure how people live here. but
that two block radius in the South Waterfront where like 30 people are protesting.
Here's the latest. Hours before the Trump administration federalized 200 Oregon National Guard members, President Donald Trump, during a Sunday morning interview with NBC, appeared to be cooling on his plans to send troops to Portland to protect U.S. immigration and customs enforcement facilities. And boy, I tell you what, our old studio was right next to the ICE building.
Yes.
We would be right in the heart of this had we not moved.
Every now and then, you know, back in the day, we had to kind of divert a block or two to go around.
Oh, there was all kinds of shenanigans down there.
There was a kerfuffle down there from time to time.
When asked whether he was still sending troops to Portland, which he described as war-ravaged in a social media post, Trump said his administration would make a decision on that pretty soon. He said, well, I mean, we're certainly looking at it. You can't have that. We don't want that. They're attacking our ICE facility, and they're attacking other federal buildings. He then got a call from Tina Kotek. No Toll Tina.
I called him up. I saw her on there.
And how about Trump saying she was really nice?
Hey, that's a step in the right direction.
So she's
right?
No dummy. She knows how to, she got to butter him up a little
Civility,
bit.
Civility, right?
Yeah. And she told him, hey, what you're seeing on TV is not, it's not what's happening. And then he actually, I've never even seen him do this. He actually questioned, he was like, well, I don't know if what I'm seeing on TV is real. Like, oh, you don't?
Yeah. Well, it's on the outskirts of the city. It's on like one little designated kind of area right there. Can we stop with the city under, like, with the a war zone?
He There's said, a lot of stupid people in this country running things.
He said, I spoke to the governor. She was very nice. But I said, well, wait a minute. Am I watching things on television that are different from what's happening? My people tell me different. They are literally attacking, and there are fires all over the place. It looks like terrible.
Fires? What?
It looks like terrible?
Yes, that's a quote. It looks like terrible.
Fires all over the place. Man, where? I must be hanging out in the wrong parts of town. I was texting. We have a couple friends of mine that are both ex-military guys, and so we're on like a text thread, and they're always sending funny little military things. And I asked, because now I just, you know, I'm stolen valor at this point. But now that Portland is officially a war zone, and I have had to engage twice, I've had to fight off homeless people over the years, does this make me an official combat veteran of the Portland Wars now?
Oh, my God.
Do I no longer have stolen valor? I mean, I think right there. I mean,
Wyatt,
come on.
You're really obnoxious.
So as of today, I don't think there are any troops here, but no. I may be wrong. Yeah. Well, I mean, they're here. It's the Oregon National Guard.
They're like
it's
just spreading mulch?
I don't know. Well, that's what they were doing in D.C.,
I know,
in
D.C.,
right?
They're, like, spreading.
Did you see the video of them?
If someone wants to spread some mulch and, like I don't know, like sweep the streets, I'm all for it.
There was a video, I think it might have been Chicago, of the dude, or maybe it was a woman, I don't know. Somebody on a bicycle came up and was, I don't know what happened, but they maybe said something to him or threw something at them, and 10 of those bros ran after that guy and he got away.
Oh yeah, that was he was on his bike and he got off the bike and said F Trump.
Oh.
And then they started running after him and he dropped his phone, stopped, picked up his phone, got back on the bike and managed to
and
run
got away
and
from
got
all
away.
Of them. Yeah.
Which by the way, it's I'm pretty great. Sure like that may be rude to go up to an officer and yell F the president, but pretty sure that you can't chase him down and beat him up for that.
Well, I don't know if they were going to beat him up.
Well, but again, why are you being chased
why
for
are
saying
you
F whoever. Pretty sure you can say that. Again, is it rude? Sure. Should you probably not? Yes. He'd chase you down? By the way, that's a little embarrassing.
You know what you ask? What'd he burglar?
What did he burglar?
What'd he burglar?
Yeah. Well, I'm just glad to know
what
that
a time
soon,
to be alive.
I'm glad to know that soon I will be sleeping in the snuggie of freedom provided by our fine National Guard taking care of my war-torn ass here in the city, because I often think to myself as I'm driving around, man, if only there was a tank here to protect me.
Is it a match made in heaven? Next.
I would hope so.
On the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, this is In the News, September 29.
I can't believe it's almost October.
I know, right, man? What the hell? It's almost Halloween, bro.
Oh, believe me, I had to go into the murder shed and pull out the Halloween decorations.
You can take your Halloween and shove it up your little kid ass. The worst holiday. Is it a holiday?
Are you okay?
Is it a holiday?
Yeah, it's a holiday.
Worst holiday that we have, Halloween. You can shove that up your little pumpkin ass.
Well, we don't get the day off. Because that's like President's Day, right? We get President's Day off, don't we?
Well, President's Day, nobody celebrates it.
What about Columbus Day? Well, no one, I mean, it's not the worst holiday we have. Everyone dresses up really slutty, which is kind of fun.
It is to me.
Indigenous Peoples Day, please. Not Columbus Day.
Oh, yeah. Native land.
All the holidays we all really celebrate, Halloween is by far the worst.
Valentine's Day.
Ooh.
That's bad. That's bad.
I get nothing out of it.
Yeah. Yeah,
you gotta spend money. Again, at least on Halloween, you get to see everyone dress up in like scantily clad clothes, and there's always candy laying around, which is fun. No, Halloween's way better than Valentine's Day.
A match made in heaven, or is it? We have...
We think!
We have Salt and Straw collabing with Taco Bell.
Ooh.
What do you think about that?
Boy, there is nothing that would wreak havoc on my delicate digestive system than that amount of lactose and whatever the hell is in Taco Bell.
I will say, Salt and Straw did like a Thanksgiving dinner flavor last year around this time.
I remember that.
With like some like turkey sausage and sage, and it wasn't bad. So if anyone could do it, they could.
If that happened and I were to eat it, I should just, what is the depend? That depends. I should just put one of those on, or I should eat it while being on the toilet. Because something bad is going to happen in 3, 2, and 1. They are going to rock your ass for 2 hours. 100%.
Well, let's see. When is this? Yeah, let's see. One second.
Dolphins giving it to the Jets, by the way. In a battle, not to see who wants to win, but who wants to win less?
I can't watch.
And yet you will.
I am watching, yes, you're right. But
it's not good.
It's so bad.
It's bad ball, yes. And whatever the Dolphins
But
are
I will say
tonight,
the Dolphins are better at sucking less than the Jets. I can say that.
I could see that.
The Jets fumbled on the going into the end zone, on the goal line.
I do enjoy that after week one, Jets fans were trying to convince themselves that Justin Fields is a good quarterback. And again, welcome to the Justin Fields experience. It happens everywhere he goes.
Okay, so... The Choco Taco? Do you know that?
I do know the Choco
Taco. Loved the Choco Taco as a kid.
The Choco Taco is back at Taco Smell.
And also a new Salt and Straw flavor?
Well, they have... Salt and Straw is making the Choco Taco.
Oh, I'm here for that.
Yeah, and you're also going to be able to buy it at a Salt and Straw near you.
Now, the Choco Taco, check me if I'm wrong, I thought that was a Klondike thing. Do they have permission to use Choco Taco?
The path from Live Moss Live to an actual mass-produced taco latte. Taco lot? Maybe it's a taco lot? Taco lot?
A taco latte. I like taco latte. It sounds it sounds funner.
As they call it. Has been a learning experience for Tyler Malik. He is of Salt and Straw.
Okay.
He is the ice cream experimenter extraordinaire over there.
By the way, I was correct. Choco Taco is a Klondike. It's a Klondike bar. I hope they're not getting sued.
Well, I'm hoping they covered those bases.
Can't just go around claiming Choco Taco.
This story is shockingly confusing about this. Okay, so in 2019, he created a cheese-stuffed waffle cone.
Okay.
In 2022, he released an ice cream perfume, the Taco Lot.
Perfume?
Then the chocolate Taco Lot was something he made first and is now shuttered soft-serve counter whiz bang bar.
I'm not following.
Dude, this makes no sense. Hold on, let's keep reading and hopefully it will make sense. We'd hand make about 30 to 50 of these a day, and it was so hard, we'd sell out by noon, and it was so fun, but not sustainable, and probably losing a lot of money, but whatever, it was cool. But for the newest iteration, Malik said they wanted to make something in bigger quantities using an easier process so they wouldn't immediately sell out, and they wanted it to be better than its predecessor. So we had this realization that even if we could remake the original Choco Taco, it wasn't that good. There were too many flaws. So the original had to make compromises around the texture of the cone and the thickness of the ice cream. Mm. That's probably why you therein lies the lack of lawsuit.
Sure.
The original had to make compromises around. Okay, we wanted to go about completely changing that. Ironically, it sounds hard, and it's even harder than that. So we went on a nearly 2-year odyssey, flying around the world, he said, looking for people who could help him realize his dream of the perfect version of the Choco Taco. It turned out he would need to create a new machinery to make that happen. He said, we literally designed everything from scratch, working with a couple of the top ice cream equipment manufacturers in the world, and now we are making these here in Portland. And you can buy them at Salt and Straw.
Who knew that making a Choco Taco was that?
Well, he says, this style of ice cream has never existed.
That's a big deal. Thank you very much.
It is made completely different than the original Choco Taco. It will be made with real waffle cones and a lot more chocolate, which helps maintain the crispiness of the cone. So this is co-branded with Taco Bell and served with wild berry cinnamon and mango jalapeno dipping sauce packets. Mm. It will be sold at all Salt and Straw locations and shipped nationwide starting Friday, October 3rd. Mm. I don't know why they needed Taco Bell, but okay. Maybe just for the name. I don't know. I'm exhausted. Oh.
By the way,
it's amazing the way I don't hear any applause for that.
Yeah. Where is the applause for us getting to the bottom of that?
By the way, so I decided to do a digging because I was like, dude,
thank you.
We used to buy these when I was a kid. Like, you'd get them. They were Klondike. They stopped making them in 2022, and right now there is a Choco Taco, the OG, on Klondike, available on eBay that someone will ship to you in dry ice because they haven't made them in a number of years. Mm-hmm. Would you care to guess how much the original Choco Taco is being sold on eBay? Shipping included, by the way.
I swear I've bought one not that long ago. How long has it been discontinued?
2022, it got discontinued.
Okay.
I'm going to say $79.
$500.
What? Why?
Get out of here. Because
I guess they don't exist anymore.
So if you purchase that, is it to have it as a souvenir or to consume it? It
says the Choco Taco is discontinued in July 2022. And there is a sharp increase in demand across it. And it's become a bit of a, I guess it's become like a collector's sort of thing.
Don't people have like special edition McDonald's sauces that have been discontinued like that?
Yeah.
So this is called the Taco Lot.
The Taco Lot. As opposed to the Choco Taco is an actual brand.
But Taco Bell is marketing it too, so I don't know. It's still, I don't know.
You're getting a chocolate taco that you don't have to pay $500 for.
You know, that's right.
Although it is Salt and Straw, so you're probably going to pay $19 for it. Portland's one of the few places that if you want a donut or an ice cream cone, get ready to break out a crisp $20 bill.
War-torn Portland.
War-torn Portland.
Thank you.
Well, that's why for a war-torn place, maybe that's why all our treats are so expensive. It's, the cost of doing war.
And that is in the news for September 29, 2025, brought to you by the Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. All right, the weekend that was in college football, next on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.